kind of a strange gospel. We think of Jesus as the great reconciler and the great healer, one who comes to bring peace, not division. And yet, we hear the exact opposite of that in this gospel today. But some context helps. First thing is, the Gospels and much of the New Testament writers, they were influenced by apocalyptic literature, which was popular from about 100 years BC to 100 years AD. So Jesus falls right in the middle of that period. And apocalyptic literature looks to the final days, to the last times, to judgment, and to the sort of the end of the world as we know it, and the transformation into the kingdom of God. And so elements of judgment and division kind of enter into that literature. One of the themes of apocalyptic literature was that in the final days, when the kingdom was being ushered in, families would be divided, because people would have to make choices, either for the kingdom or against the kingdom, and sometimes even family members wouldn't agree on that. And so but another element of that apocalyptic notion of families dividing is that, just like Jesus says, you must hate your father and mother because of me. In other words, as much as family ties are important, and that's the historical human bonds of relationship, it's family, and yet that dissolves for the kingdom, because you have to have more allegiance to Jesus than you have even to your brother or sister or your father or your mother or your spouse. So Jesus is coming to divide. Remember when Jesus was presented in the temple by Mary and Joseph, the prophet Simeon held him in his arms and said to Mary, "This child of yours will be a two-edged sword that will cause division." And so despite the fact that Jesus is the healer and the reconciler, he's also the divider, because he's commanding some kind of commitment that goes beyond family ties, beyond the normal means of human relationship. Baptism is the way that we enter into that mystery, but it kind of is the way that Jesus enters into that mystery too. Jesus is baptized twice in the Gospels. The first time he's baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. And at that time, the Spirit hovers over him like a dove, and a voice is heard from above that says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him, in whom I am well pleased." And so Jesus, filled with that fiery Spirit, he's on fire from within, and he goes out and spends those 3 years in his public ministry preaching the gospel, the good news of salvation, healing people, reconciling, all that sort of thing. But now in today's gospel, he says, "I'm going to be baptized with a baptism of fire." He's talking about his death and his resurrection. No matter what Jesus said and did in his public ministry, somehow it all falls short compared to the definitive act of his death and resurrection. That's what saves us. Not his words, not his actions, but his death and resurrection. That's our salvation, and it's a baptism of pain, and he knows it. But he says, "How I wish it were here. I'm in agony until it's over." Well, the prophet Jeremiah, who was the author of our first reading, he's kind of a type for Christ, a precursor of Christ, and he's rejected, and even though he's a prophet of God, he brings division, and people are divided over him, and so they throw him into the cistern, which is a kind of a symbolic death, and then sometime later, he's pulled back out of the cistern. Jesus goes into death and into the tomb, and then 3 days later is raised from the dead by the Spirit and the Father. So this dying and rising pattern has directly to do with our salvation. So most of us were baptized many years ago, Many of us in infancy, we don't even remember it. But we sign ourselves in that font every time we come in here to remind ourselves that there's something dangerous and foreboding about this commitment that we have made, that it's requiring something of us. It's not just something to make us feel good. It's something that's kind of frightening. It's a commitment that is not easy to make. And so we have to make sacrifices over and over again in the Christian life. And we get deeper and deeper into the mystery. And despite the fearfulness of it, we have this resolve that's similar to the resolve of Jesus. In his humanness, he's afraid of his death. He dreads it. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And yet at the same time, he has this resolve. People say, don't go back to Jerusalem. They're plotting to kill you. And he goes anyway. Well, people say to us, why are you into this whole Christian thing? It just causes pain, you know. It causes commitment. Why do you need to know any more about this? Because then you're going to be responsible for it. This gospel follows directly on the one from last Sunday, and the last words of last Sunday's gospel were, from him to whom much has been given, much will be required. Jesus was given life by the Father, and he's filled with the fiery spirit, and so much is required of him, the cross. But we've been baptized into that same truth, and we know much has been given to us and much is going to be expected. And the expectation is our learning how to die, our learning how to be baptized over and over again with the fiery spirit that transforms our lives and sometimes causes division. Sometimes people are going to walk away just like they walked away from Jesus. And sometimes our own family members aren't going to agree with us. But somehow or other we've come to the commitment, come to the knowledge and the hope that passing through death only leads to resurrection. And that the transformation of this world into the kingdom of God, while it's violent and deadly, the end of the story is eternal life with God.